Republicans on the legislature's budget committee removed hundreds of items from Governor Tony Evers' budget in one fell swoop yesterday. It's Wednesday, May 3rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Groh. Coming up, Sarah Lear has the latest on the legal battle over abortion rights in the state. And Rob Mensa reports on the Wausau School District's decision to reinstate a teacher accused of using racial slurs. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Republicans in the state legislature cut more than 500 of Governor Tony Evers' budget proposals yesterday. Hope Kerwin has more on the governor's response.
In addition to cutting Medicaid expansion and a proposal for paid family leave, the GOP-led budget committee also cut funding for school mental health services. During a visit to La Crosse on Tuesday, Governor Tony Evers says that funding was meant to continue school programs started during the pandemic. He says Republicans' decision to cut it will have a big impact on districts and the services they provide.
Not only reaching out to kids, they're reaching out to the community. They're having mental health and behavioral health discussions in the community. That stops. That's foolishness.
Evers says improving access to mental and behavioral health services, including for substance abuse, is a major issue in Wisconsin. But Republicans in the state legislature said on Tuesday that the governor's budget was unrealistic and out of step with their priorities. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican Representative Mark Bourne, who co-chairs the budget committee, said Evers' budget did not reflect his party's values.
When the solutions, apparently, from the Dems are more government, more spending, more welfare, smoke more weed, yeah, our approaches are going to be different.
Tuesday's votes were the first taken by Republicans on the budget. They're likely to vote on some of the bigger issues, such as school funding, later this month. Attorneys will be making arguments in court this week as part of an ongoing legal battle over the status of abortion in Wisconsin. Sarah Lear reports.
Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit after Roe v. Wade was overturned last summer, arguing a pre-Civil War ban on abortion should not be enforced. Call contends the ban is in conflict with other state laws. The suit names three district attorneys as defendants, including Sheboygan County Republican Joel Ermansky. Ermansky's previously said he would enforce Wisconsin's abortion ban, and he's asking for the suit to be dismissed. A hearing is set for Thursday morning in Dane County Circuit Court. Eventually, the case could make its way to Wisconsin's Supreme Court, where liberals are poised to gain a narrow majority once a newly elected justice takes office in August. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Spring flooding made erosion worse along riverbanks near a Canadian firm's oil and gas pipeline on the Bad River Tribe's reservation. The tribe and Enbridge told a federal court Monday that the Bad River's banks have lost up to about 10 feet near the company's Line 5 pipeline. The pipe is now as close as 17 to 18 feet from the river's edge amid recent rains and snowmelt. Environmental groups argue the pipeline should be shut down. But Scott Manley with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce says a shutdown poses a bigger concern than flooding.
We would have a severe disruption to our motor fuel supply, which, as we know, then results in massive price spikes.
Neither Bad River nor Enbridge says their plans require a shutdown at this time. The tribe is suing the company to shut down and remove Line 5 from its lands. Bad River says it poses an unreasonable risk to health and safety. An Enbridge spokesperson says Line 5 continues to operate safely. The Wausau School District's decision to reinstate a high school teacher accused of using racial slurs has sparked outrage among Asian American leaders across Wisconsin. Rob Mensa has more.
The district investigated allegations against Wausau East band director Rob Perkins after a student said Perkins used anti-Asian racial slurs. It found he did not engage in harassing or discriminatory behavior, but he was guilty of, quote, insensitive and unprofessional conduct. District Superintendent Keith Hiltz said in a statement that the district would institute new trainings, but would not fire Perkins or remove him from the classroom. That has prompted outrage among some Asian American leaders. A group of six nonprofit and elected leaders called on students, teachers, and community members to stand up against all forms of racism and bigotry. The students' parents have spoken out in media interviews saying they want to see the teacher fired. Perkins did not respond to a request for comment. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about a replica Viking church that became a connection to home. Stay with us.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on WPR to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language. This essential service that you count on relies on your support. It's the largest source of our funding. If you've never given before, make a contribution now of, say, $10 a month at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's contributor Brad Kohlberg with a story about feeling at home in two Norways.
Sometimes when we're far from home, it's nice to have something familiar around to keep us connected. Contributor Eric Dregney has lived in Norway and Wisconsin, and by pure coincidence, he and his son have found a connection and the same familiar thing in both places.
The first time my son Elif and I saw a stave church from Norway was in Wisconsin. Elif was just five and wanted to run. I love this building with its menacing gargoyles jutting out of the eaves. We were in Little Norway, an old Norwegian farmstead near Blue Mounds, and this creaky wooden building was a replica of the stave churches that date back nearly two millennia to the end of the Viking Age. A plaque outside said the church was built and shipped over from the town of Orkanger, the same place where Elif was born when we lived in Norway for a year. No wonder Elif had an affinity for this church. The dismantled church originally arrived in Chicago for the 1893 World Columbian Exposition. Now, Columbian means Columbus, and the Norwegians were not pleased. Didn't everyone know that Leif Erikson beat Columbus by nearly 500 years? Besides, Leif didn't brag so much about discovering a new world, perhaps since people already lived here. The Norwegian immigrants in the Midwest, however, wanted to make sure everyone knew. This stave church, along with a Viking ship that crossed the Atlantic, was that proof, that symbol. After the festivities in Chicago, the stave church became a cinema and eventually moved to its new home in Little Norway, Wisconsin. Then, a couple of years ago, when Elif turned 15, we traveled back to Big Norway to visit the town where he was born. We drove along the fjord from Trondheim to Orkanger to the Orkdal Sykehus, the hospital where my wife Katie gave birth. The Norwegian government not only paid for Elif's birth, but offered financial help for us new parents. If Katie had been working in Norway before the birth, she would have gotten 42 weeks off from work at full pay, or 52 weeks at 80% of her salary, paid for by the government, not the employer. Since she hadn't worked a day there, they gave us a cool $5,000 to help raise our baby. Not bad. I thought about my great-grandfather, also named Elif, who fled Norway to escape poverty, and here we were admiring the generosity of the Norwegian system that helped new families rather than sticking them with a $5,000 deductible if they were lucky enough to have health insurance. What's more, the Norwegian government deposited about $150 each month into our bank account to help raise baby Elif. It kept depositing money into our account even after we moved back to the U.S., so I had to compose a letter to them. Please, Norwegian government, stop sending us all your money. Now, I sometimes regret sending that letter, especially after doing the calculations of how much money that would be after 15 years. Norway seemed generous by sending us this money and that replica stave church in 1893. As Aleph and I drove from the hospital in Orkanger, we spotted that very same stave church that we'd seen before, but never here. Apparently, after 122 years in the Midwest, Wisconsin's stave church went home to Orkanger after Little Norway closed. A group of Norwegians traveled to Wisconsin to dismantle the Stavkirke, the stave church, and lovingly restore it as a little bit of the Midwest in Norway. Just as Aleph was born in Orkanger, grew up in the Midwest, and has now returned.
Eric Dregney teaches English at Concordia University in St. Paul. He's the author of several books, including Vikings in the Attic, In Search of Nordic America. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.